Welcome to a special edition on the Civil Rights Movement. The United States celebrates Martin Luther King Day in mid-January every year. It's to commemorate the heroic work of a man who fought peacefully for equal rights for all Americans, black or white, in all the country.
That's right, GP. Indeed, even after slavery was abolished by Abraham Lincoln in 1883, at the end of the Civil War, legal segregation was introduced in the Deep South. The Deep South, or Dixie, includes Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, South and North Carolina, and Florida, the entire southeast of the USA.
Can you remind us just what legal segregation meant in everyday life of the people living in Dixie?
Of course. Well, all public places had separate sections, one section for white people and one for black. This segregation was nicknamed Jim Crow. Bars, restaurants, cinemas, and theaters. And every town had two different schools, one for white children, the other for black children. Public transport was also segregated. Whites sat in the front of the buses, blacks at the back. On trains, there were separate compartments.
Harsh racist realities, which shock us today. Now, in this radio report, we want to look at the struggle the African-American citizens had to end this unfair system. We intend to cover Martin Luther King's dynamic drive for justice, but we particularly aim to mention other people and groups who stood up for their human rights.
Yes, Raphael. We have researched the 60s and discovered that Mr. King was helped very much by other very strong, determining characters who dared to oppose the Jim Crow laws. From the less known, to the most famous, we've decided to commemorate their resistance in a whole program today.
And it's whispered that soon, if we all call the tune, then the piper will lead us to reason. And a new day will dawn for those who stand long, and the forest will echo with laughter.
To begin, let's remember an African-American woman, Lily Mae Bradford. She isn't as well known as Rosa Parks, who he'll also talk about, but she stood up to the authorities 3 years before Miss Parks. Can you explain, Soraya?
Yes, I can. Lily Mae Bradford was sitting in the front of a bus in 1952. The bus driver has punched her ticket incorrectly, so she had paid for a front seat. It wasn't the first time this happened, and Lily was fed up.
Yes, so fed up that she decided to sit in the front. The bus driver asked her to move back to the seats for blacks. Lily refused and said she had paid for a front seat. At the next bus stop, the driver got out, phoned the police.
And one or two stops later, the police came and arrested Miss Bradford. She was taken to the police station, treated like a criminal, fingerprinted, fined, and was charged with disorderly conduct. Shows she had a criminal record.
Lily Mae Bradford held her criminal record for life after this. She was refused a lot of jobs because of that. Yet, she never regretted her act.
This was the beginning of a lot of resistance. We'd like to remember Miss Bradford as a less sung heroine than others, but a brave and strong-willed lady.
Destruction is a very wrong road, but it also breeds creation. And earthquakes and earthquakes, are they just another good vibration?
Well, one lady who is indeed an icon who became an overnight heroine is Rosa Parks. Remember Rosa, the African-American woman who refused to give up her bus seat to a white passenger in Montgomery?
Oh yes, and you know she was sitting in the middle of the bus, the section where both blacks and whites could sit.
Both black and whites could sit there, but whites were priority. Rosa was legally obliged to give up the seat she was sitting on. That was a Jim Crow law.
True, yet Rosa realized that Jim Crow was really racism, and she was fed up with racial segregation. She knew what risk she was taking, but she decided that somebody had to stand up to that injustice.
Of course, she was arrested that day. She was charged with disorderly conduct for disobeying the law. She was taken to the police station, fingerprinted and fined. Just like a criminal, the black population were furious in Montgomery.
Her arrest was published in all the papers and broadcast on TV and radio, just after Martin Luther King decided to organize the Montgomery bus boycott.
The Montgomery bus boycott began on the 3rd of December 1955. Within 2 days, 90% of the black citizens were refusing to take public bus transport. This nonviolent protest lasted for over 1 year.
Yes, and on December 8th, the black community demanded a first-come, first-served seating possibility for all.
Of course, the boycott was effective because the majority of the bus passengers were black. So, without the black passenger, the bus system experienced a major financial crisis.
Yes, the black people who needed to travel long distance organized a carpool system. Over six each hike or walked.
When the African American community finally went to court and proved that it was not legal under the American Constitution to separate people based on their race, segregation became illegal.
Martin Luther King said after the boycott, "It's more honorable to work in dignity than to ride in humiliation." All the black community who took part in the bus boycott can be extremely proud of their action today.
Many young people stood up for their rights too. What about the Little Rock Nine, for instance? I mean the hardcore students who faced vicious crowds and furious white racists because they wanted to attend a formerly segregated high school in Little Rock in Arkansas.
True, they cannot be forgotten. There were a group of 9 African-American students who in 1957 decided to brave angry white protesters and enter the local high school.
Let's remember that the school had become desegregated. That is to say, the school board had agreed to respect the Supreme Court, which had declared segregated schools as unconstitutional.
Yes, but the majority of the white people at this time were against that court decision. They stood outside the high school on the day that the 9 black students came to start school. They shouted and jeered. They called the wrong black students' names and told them to go home.
Some whites spat and cried out nasty comments. President Eisenhower had to send the National Guard to protect the black students. One black girl had acid thrown in her eyes.
But the 9 students remained stoical. They didn't react. They didn't let themselves be scared away. The students were heroes. In 2008, President Clinton honored them with a golden medal. Today, we include them in our list of heroes.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
A lot of university students also stood up against racism. Let me mention the students who took part in the Greensboro sit-ins, for example.
That's very true. What a great example of non-violent protest. The Greensboro sit-in was when 4 African-American students decided to sit at the counter reserved for white customers in a Woolworth restaurant in February 1960 in Greensboro, North Carolina.
They sat down at the whites-only counter and ordered coffee. As was the restaurant policy, the server refused to serve them. Then the manager came and asked them to leave. They refused.
In fact, they decided to stay exactly where they were until the store closed. And the next day, they went back and sat there again.
This time, there were more than 20 black students all sitting in the section for white customers. They sat peacefully, ordered food or coffee, and read books. Some white clients insulted them or shouted at them, but the black students paid no attention to the helpless.
Soon, the sit-in became the top story on newspapers, on radio, and on the TV. On the third day, there were over 60 protesters, and on the fourth, about 300. At the same time, other sit-ins were taking place in other restaurants in all major cities in North Carolina and other states in the Deep South too.
The sit-ins continued until July that year. Finally, on July 25, 1960, the Woolworths chain of restaurants were disaggregated. Thanks to those four students who had a dream, equality for all.
Sweet dreams, sweet dreams, sweet dreams. Sweet dreams, sweet dreams, sweet dreams. Sweet dreams, sweet dreams, sweet dreams.
Other people also had this dream. For example, the Freedom Riders in 1961. They aimed to highlight the prejudice of Jim Crow or segregation.
Indeed, the Freedom Riders were a group of people, black and white, from the northern states who decided to ride interstate buses into the thousand states. They sat on the buses, black and white passenger, united together with black and white passenger in all sections of the bus and side by side.
Despite many difficult situations, sometimes they were attacked. As they stopped in segregated towns in the southern states, they continued to take the buses to highlight that all people could travel together in harmony on public transport.
Some Freedom Riders were beaten, attacked, and insulted. Members of the Ku Klux Klan hurt a group of Freedom Riders. But they continued to ride the interstate buses to prove that all passengers were equal. They demonstrated their dream for equality.
Also the dearest wish of our most famous hero, Martin Luther King.
Yes, Martin Luther King had been leading non-violent protests since the Montgomery bus boycott. However, we'd like to mention his famous speech after the March for Civil Rights in Washington, D.C. on August 28, 1963. This was a really great day for African Americans. He pleaded for liberty, equality and fraternity. For harmony between all Americans, whatever their skin color.
What an amazing speech. He quoted Abraham Lincoln as he said, "We hold this truth to be self-evident that all men are created equal." He has become one of the world's most heroic non-violent successful protesters.
He would certainly have been so proud of the current American president, Barack Obama. It's solely the proof that Martin Luther King's dream came true.
Yes, in 1964, segregation was abolished in the southern states and became illegal.
Union USA, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you join us, and the world will live as one.
You know, even when segregation became illegal, many black people in the southern states were still either afraid to vote or didn't register to vote. That's why the struggle for rights continued after the Washington March.
So Jim Crow became a crime, and still a lot of African Americans in the southern states didn't have a political voice?
That's right. So the following summer, Freedom Summer was organized. It took place in Mississippi in the summer of 1964. Various civil rights groups led a campaign to advise as many African American voters as possible to register.
And more than 3,500 students volunteered to work in freedom schools. All through that summer in 1964, these students struck history, literature, and politics to African American of all ages.
The aim was to teach confidence, literacy, civil rights, and political processes to people who had lived until then as second-class citizens.
There were some very negative reactions to this Freedom Summer and also to the Freedom Schools, but the voluntary teachers were heroic in their efforts. Thousands of black people began to believe at last in the American dream.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we?
Now we hope to have underlined the fact that civil rights were obtained thanks to many individuals and groups. From the most famous heroes to the unsung heroes, it is also useful to remember that all African American citizens, and indeed the many white anti-segregation citizens who supported the movement, contributed to the final success of the civil rights movement.